Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Tzav, we'll Amirta Hashem have six Divrei Torah. On a high level, Parshas Tzav is a continuation of Parshas Vayikra, the prior Parsha, with a lot of discussions and details about the bringing of Korbanos. And what is fascinating is that on first glance, we would think that Korbanos, sacrifices, I can't relate to that. That existed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't bring Korbanos nowadays. But nonetheless, there are so many amazing messages of so many important lessons that we can learn, and Amir Tashem, we will learn some lessons from what would otherwise be viewed as something very esoteric to us. We are going to start out at the beginning of the Parsha. It is Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis. It says, Tzav es Aaron ves banav le'mor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should command Aaron and his children as follows. And as Rashi brings, what is this language, tzav, command? That is the lashon of zirus, that you have to make them act with speed, with alacrity, with haste. And the question is, why is that necessary in this context? And there are various explanations. Rashi brings one. The Alshich brings a very fascinating one. He says, the zrizus that is necessary, why is it tzav? Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to command Aaron's children that they need to act in haste, with zrizus specifically in this context. Why? Because you have to look at the continuation of what the Pasuk says. Zos Torah Saola, it's talking about the halachas of the Ola. Korban Ola is something that was totally burnt on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Hi Haola al Makta al Mizbeach kol Laila ad Aboker. It would be burning all night. You had to burn the entire Korban Ola, the carcass of the animal had to be consumed, but it can be consumed all night. So the Kohanim could very easily say, it's going to burn all night anyway, it can be consumed by the morning. What is my rush during the day? It's during the day that the Korban Ola was brought. Why do I have to go and put it on the Mizbeach right now? As long as I do it before nightfall, then it'll have the ability to burn all night. Why do I have to act with speed right now? And the Torah is coming to teach us, the Pasuk is coming to teach us, as soon as you bring that Korban Ola, don't wait. Don't sit there. Don't take the view, if I can do it later, I'll just do it later. What's the rush? But act with alacrity now, even though the Pasuk does says that it can be burning all night, so you just have to part it up before night, but do it as quickly as possible. In particular, the time of day, in the daytime, is a time of chesed, is a time of bracha, but the nighttime is a time of darkness, that is a time of dinim, is a time of judgment. Do it as during the daytime, when it's a positive atmosphere during the day, not closer to the night. And on a higher level, we see here the concept of zrizim makdimin lemitzvah. Tzav, yes, could you delay? Could you put it up later in the day? Yes, absolutely. Me'ikar adin. But that's not the right approach to doing mitzvahs. When you have a mitzvah, do it zrizim makdimin lemitzvah. So many times in life, we have something important to do, but we procrastinate, especially when it comes to could be mitzvahs, preparations for Shabbos, buying stuff for Shabbos, any type of mitzvahs, I'll do it later, I'll daven mincha later, why do I have to go daven now, I'll find it later, minyan, I'll daven shacharis later, I'll have my chavrusa later, this later, that later. Obviously, it doesn't only apply to mitzvahs. As people, as human beings, we are experts at procrastination, and this is coming to tell us, even though you could do something later, tzav, act with haste, act with zrizus, especially when it comes to mitzvah. Don't procrastinate. Do it. Do it with a smile, but do it. Don't delay. Don't sit on it. Do it. Do it as quickly as possible. Next, we are continuing. Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad bo. Same pasuk. It's talking about the fire of the mizbeach should remain lit on it. We are going to focus on the word bo. Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad bo. Bo means inside of it. The fire of the mizbeach should be inside of the mizbeach. The Imre Emres from Gur, the Gera Rebbe, this was actually before he was the Gera Rebbe, he was a little young boy, he was 5 years old, and he was learning in a Talmud Torah, he was learning Parshas HaShavua, and he turned to his Rebbe, and he asked him as follows, why does this Pasuk say, Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad bo, that the fire should be burning inside of the altar, why doesn't it say, Ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukad alav? Why doesn't it say that the fire should be burning on top of the Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach, ala Mizbeach, not in the Mizbeach? Now, the Rebbe did not have an answer. The Rebbe Didn't know. Great question. Don't know. Stumped by a five-year-old. So he responded as follows. Go ask your father. Who is the father of this young boy, the Imre Emes, the future Imre Emes from Gur? His father was the Svas Emes. So here, the five-year-old, the future Imre Emes, goes and asks his father, the Svas Emes, the question. Well, why does it say, Eish HaMizbeach Tu Kadbo, that the fire is going to be in the Mizbeach? It should say that the fire should be on the Mizbeach. And his father, the Svas Emes, responded with a question. Well, what do you think the answer is? And the child answered as follows beautifully. In my opinion, what is going on here is Eish HaMizbeach Tu Kadbo is not saying that the fire should be burning within the Mizbeach. That's not the case. It should be burning within the Kohen who's doing all the mitzvahs on the Mizbeach. The fire should be his desire, the fire inside of the Mizbeach, as it reads, Tukadbo, that's not referring to the Mizbeach, that's referring to the fire that should be burning inside the person who is doing the mitzvah, that is referring to the Kohen. A beautiful answer, may not be the pshat, but a beautiful drash. So we see between the first Dvar Torah, that was Zrizim Makdimi in the mitzvahs, that was do a mitzvah with Zrizus, don't procrastinate. And now the second Dvar Torah of Eish HaMizbeach Tu Kadbo is coming to teach us, and how should the mitzvah be done? It should be done with desire and passion. The fire should be burning inside the person who is doing that mitzvah. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. It says in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, V'zos Taras HaHasham Kodesh Kodashim Hu. When it comes to the specific type of korban that's being brought, there are various types of korbanos. There's an ola that we mentioned that the entire thing is burnt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a chatas and there's an asham. When people do the various types of sins, that's when they bring a chatas or an asham. There's kashlamin discussed in Parshas Tzav as well. So the story is told of Rabbi Yeshua Mikotna. He said as follows, when there is someone, Kasher Adam Choshev Shu Kodesh Kadoshim, when somebody thinks he's holy of holy, there are actually two levels of korbanos. There's Kodesh Kadoshim, that's effectively the higher level, the holy of holies. Korban Ola, Korban Chatas, those are classified as Kodesh Kadoshim, and there's a lower level of holiness for other korbanos, and that's what's called the Kodesh Kalim. Kalim is light. It's lighter. It's holy, it's Kodeshim, but it's Kalim. That would be, for example, the Shlamim. When it comes to the Asham, as the Pasuk says, Vizos Torah Asham, this is the Torah of the Asham, that is categorizes the Kodshe Kodoshim, that is the higher level. So Rabbi Yeshua Mikodna, he used this Pasuk to learn the following message. He says, somebody who thinks about himself that he is Kodshe Kodoshim, he thinks he's very holy, he thinks he's a great person, that is an Asham, who that is a sin. That is a sin that you need to have a kapara for. So he's playing with our pasuk a little bit. Zos Torah Hashem. This is the Torah. Somebody who thinks that he's Kodesh Kodashim, that falls into the category of a korban asham. That is a real sin that somebody should think so highly of himself that I am Kodesh Kodashim. I am on a very holy level. In a similar way, the Magid Mikoshnitz says as follows. There's on the pasuk talking about the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, the Parah Aduma, the requirement brought by the Torah, Asher Ein Ba Mum, a couple of requirements that are brought. It can't have any blemishes, the red heifer, the Parah Aduma, and also Asher Lo Allah Allah Ol, it can't be that it had a burden, that it worked, that it had been used to drag things, to schlep things. So a similar concept here, somebody who thinks that he doesn't have a mum, I don't have blemishes, I have nothing wrong with me, I am perfect like the required Parah Aduma, that is a sign that he does not have upon him the yoke of Malchus Shamayim. So it's again a play on the word Asher Ein Bo Mum. If you're somebody who thinks that you don't have a mum, this is the pasuk. It's Bamidbar Yud Tes Beis. If you think Asher Ein Bo Mum, if you think you don't have any mum in you, that you're perfect, you're blemish, you have no blemishes, that is a sign Asher Lo Ala Ala. Oh, that is a sign that you don't have any fear of God upon you. You don't have the yoke of God upon you because you think you are perfect. In a similar vein, and we're coming up on Pesach in a few weeks, Chazal tell us when it comes to chametz, this is brought by the Drash Vayun, when it comes to chametz, there is a phrase to violate the Isra Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzah. Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzah is the prohibition of having in your possession or seeing. Bal Yirah, don't see, but Bal Yimatzah, don't find in your possession chametz. It relates to chametz that is yours. Shalcha yataroa, val ataroa shalacherim shalgavoa. The Isra is seeing your own chametz, Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzah. But if it's owned by somebody else, or if it is owned by the Beis Hamikdash, shalgavoa, something like that, then you're not going to violate the prohibition of Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatzah. It has to be lo yireh lechaser, don't see something that is owned by you, don't possess something that is owned by you, don't see it, don't own it, don't find it. But if it's owned by somebody else, not a problem. So the Drash Vayun brings the following drasha: the olam ein adam roya eitz al atzmo shum da chametz. When it comes to people, they don't see in of themselves any chametz. Chametz is representing something that is evil, that is leaven, that is what's prohibited on Pesach. So when it comes to themselves, people don't see any chametz, but they do see chametz in other people. Other people have blemishes and flaws, especially if it's of gavoa, gavoa applying to our leaders, our rabbanim, etc. That is when people especially see that there is chametz. So that is a play on that phrase, shalcha yataroa. When it comes to chametz, people don't see their own chametz, but they do see chametz shalacherin, the chametz that other people have, the blemishes that other people have, v'shal gavoa, and also the people that we should be looking up to, the rabbanim, our leaders, people do see chametz in them as well. We are now moving forward to vort number 4, and it says as follows, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yudchet, lo yechashev lo pigul yiyeh. Pigul is a concept, a somewhat complicated concept, that at certain phases of when the korban is brought, for example, when somebody does the shechita, or when somebody does the placement of the, when somebody does the spritzing of the bud, the zizrika, these are different phases in the bringing of a korban, that if somebody has a specific type of thought, an improper thought, it will invalidate that korban and the meat will become pigul. Pigul means that you're not allowed to eat the meat. That would be chayev kares if somebody eats the meat. Okay, that's a lot of detail. What our focus here has to be is lo yechashev lo pigul yiyeh. It should not be considered to him. It is considered a pigul. This korban is a pigul. When you have the wrong thought in bringing a korban, it is a pigul. It is a treif korban. So the Shulchan Aruch brings a similar concept to Orach Chaim, Tzadi Ches, Siv Dalet, as follows. Hatfila hi b'makom korban. Tfila is in place of a korban. And accordingly, we have to be very careful that just like when it comes to a korban, certain thoughts will invalidate the korban, so too, we have to be very careful about the thoughts that we have when we are praying, when we are davening. We have to keep our minds clean, pure, proper, and focused on our davening. So based on that background, this, by the way, and the prior Dvar Torah also is from a sefer called Chiyucha Shel Torah, a smile of Torah, so that's why they're a little bit witty, maybe with a somewhat of a little bit of a comical and negative bent to it, but in any case, we'll bring it, because there is an important message. So there's a chassid that went and complained to the Chozem Lublin, and he says, I have such a problem when I'm davening. I have all these machshavot zarot, I have these foreign thoughts that are entering my mind when I'm saying Shemona Esrei, when I'm davening, and they're really burdening me, and they're getting me off track in my davening. And he called them machshavot zarot, these foreign thoughts. And the Rebbe, the Chozem Lublin, says, why are you calling those machshavot zarot? Why are you calling them foreign thoughts? If you were all day involved in Torah and tefillah, if you were involved all the time in purity, and then it happened to be that during davening you had this foreign thought that did not relate to spirituality, you could call it indeed a machshavot zarot, a foreign thought. But you are not involved in spirituality and purity all the time. In fact, you're very rarely involved in spirituality and purity. And accordingly, this is not a machshavot zarot, a foreign thought. This is just a thought for you, because this is the type of thought that you are having throughout the day. So it's not such a surprise that when you're always constantly thinking about things that aren't Kodesh, not Torah, not Tefillah, but you're simply thinking about other things, that it's a more natural thing that it will enter. The message there is the more we can be involved in training ourselves to be thinking purely, properly in Torah and Tefillah, that is better. It's certainly going to be more beneficial for our davening. We'll be able to focus focus better. We are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, a beautiful pasuk. It's in Perek Zayin, pasuk Lama Zayin. They're all beautiful pasukim, but I think this is also especially beautiful, and it says, Zos ha-Torah la'ola le-mincha le-chatas la-Hashem. It's really a recap of the various korbanos that we went through in Parshas Tzav. This is the Torah, this is the limud when it comes to korban ola and a korban mincha and a chatas in Hashem. It's very interesting to note that when it says, Zos ha-Torah la'ola le-mincha, it doesn't have a vav there. This is for a ola, this is for a mincha, and then it says, ve-le-chatas, ve-le-Hashem, and for a chatas, and for an Hashem. Effectively, it seems to be equating the Ola and the Mincha. The Ola came first in Parshas Tzav, and second came the Korban Mincha. The Beis Yosef actually points this out. He says that the Pasuk is equating the Ola, which should be the highest level Korban, because the entire thing is being consumed on the Mizbeach, that's the Ola, and also the Mincha. The Mincha is a flower offering. If somebody can't afford the full Korban, so you bring the less expensive thing. Now, what's fascinating, number one, is that the Pasuk seems to be equating the Ola, which is a much more expensive animal, a much more expensive korban, and the Mincha, which is a lot less expensive. It's equating the two. And as a second question, very related question, is it's Chatas and Asham only come afterward. And those are animal. Those are expensive korbanos, they can be. And those come after the Mincha. So why are we equating the Mincha to the Ola? And why are we putting the Mincha before the Chatas and the Asham? Very interesting question. So the Beis Yosef answers as follows, that the Ola certainly is on the highest level, but the Mincha, despite the fact that it is inexpensive, and also despite the fact that very little of it winds up on the Mizbeach, when somebody brings a Korban Mincha, the kohen takes effectively a fistful of it, even less than a fistful, and puts that on the Mizbeach, and for many types of the Mincha is not put on the Mizbeach. So why are we giving such important status to the Korban Mincha? So the Beis Yosef says as follows, who is bringing the Korban Mincha? Somebody who cannot afford a more expensive Korban, the Ani, but he's putting such efforts into spending. He doesn't have the money. And despite that, he is still bringing a Korban Mincha. It's difficult for him to even afford that. And somebody who is destitute, and he's still making efforts, a Kadosh Baruch Hu feels very close to that person. Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara, the Zevach of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the sacrifices of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is somebody who has a broken spirit, Lev Nishbar, somebody who has a broken heart, etc. That is a Pasuk in Tehillim, Nun Aleph, Pasuk Yutes, and accordingly, that is something that is very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at effort. He doesn't look at a beautiful korban, and that's tremendous, and that's more important than something that's less. When the person who brings the less, it was very difficult for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking at the effort, and accordingly, the korban mincha that somebody brought, and it was very difficult, the person couldn't afford, and still made efforts and brings the Korban Mincha, and especially that person, if he's having a difficult time in life, financially and otherwise, the Kadosh Baruch Hu feels very close to that person. And that's why when it mentions the Korban Mincha in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, it says, V'nefesh ki takriv. It doesn't say Adam ki takriv, bringing a Korban Mincha, but Nefesh. That person is putting his heart and his soul into bringing the Korban, and that's why the Pasuk gives it such beautiful priority. Equates it to the Korban Ola, and gives it priority to the Chantas and the Asham, because of the effort, the challenging difficulties that that person who was destitute nonetheless brought that Korban, that person who was having a difficult time and still making efforts in spirituality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels incredibly close to that individual. Last Dvar Torah, number 6, we are going to Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Hey, and it says as follows, Shmartem es Mishmeres Hashem, this is during the 7-8 days of the Miluim, we'll wind up in the next week's Parsha Shmini on the 8th day. For 7 days, Aaron and his children were required to sit on the Pesach, the opening of the Ohel Moed, of the Mishkan. 7 days that they sat there, they were guarding it, they were Lishmor, Ushmartem es Mishmeres Hashem, this is what you should be guarding, sitting there guarding for 7 days. Now, this word that we're going to focus on is ushmartem. Typically, we would explain it as guard. I have shmirah. I am guarding. I am guarding. That is a shomer. That is a guard. But the Rav Mei Menuchas explains as follows, that this word is actually referred to. It's here. It's defined differently. And if we hark back to when Yosef was having his dreams, which his brothers despised, and he told them, these are my dreams. What was Yaakov, Yosef's father, what was Yaakov's, what was his the result? What were his thoughts? What was his reaction? So it says, "Va'aviv shamar es hadavar." His father, he was shomer the davar. What does that mean? He was guarding it? No. Rashi explains as follows that Yaakov Avinu. What does that mean? Shamar davar. Who was mamtin umetzapeh? He was waiting, anticipating. When is the dream, or when are the dreams of Yosef going to come true? It wasn't that he was guarding it. He was looking forward, anticipating. I cannot wait until that happens. And accordingly, the Mei Menuchos explains the same thing here. Ushmartem Mishmeres Hashem, you, the children of Aaron and his children, wait 7 days, but it's, don't just sit there. You should be looking forward in an anticipatory way till the 8th day of the Miluim, that you are going to become the Kohen Gadol for Aaron and the Kohanim for the children, actively participating, actively taking lead in the Avodah. Now through the 7 days, it was Moshe Rabbeinu was taking lead. But sit there and look forward and anticipate and have passion. You should be looking forward to stepping up and becoming Aaron the Kohen Gadol and the children being actively involved in the Avodah. And that's what we should be doing. We should be looking forward when it comes to mitzvahs, when it comes to davening, when it comes to learning. We should look forward with passion. We have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. We have Pesach coming. It is a lot of work, but we should be anticipating all the messages and the lessons and the mitzvahs and the matzah and the maror and everything that comes together with it. That's something that we should definitively be looking forward to. And that's the concept of counting up to Shavuos. We are counting up or counting down, 49, 48, 47, counting up to Shavuos, looking forward. That's the anticipation. It's not simply going through the motions, but looking forward because we have something at the end of the day to look forward to. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.